afternoon. I'm Amanda Pfeffer, and this is Ontario Today. In this hour, why do you still need cash? 1-888-817-8995.
I think the last time I went to an ATM was 2 years ago.
Having a wad of cash in your pocket just isn't convenient.
Fewer and fewer Canadians are using cash today. The most recent research suggests that Canada is one of the leaders on the march to a cashless society. In 2017, one in four transactions in Canada involved cash. Today, it's down to just 10%, according to recent research. But while there are a few moves to put a brake on that trend here, south of the border, there's growing pushback.
This month in Philadelphia, a first-of-its-kind law went into effect, mandating that all businesses accept physical dollar bills or coins in exchange for goods and services.
You know, there are people who do not have credit. Telling people who do not have the ability to have credit that you can't buy a basic product is not treating people fairly.
In 2019, the city of Philadelphia led the way to make it one of the first in the United States to ban retailers from refusing cash. Other cities followed suit.
Today, the New York City Council is expected to vote on a bill.
The legislation, which was sponsored by Bronx Councilman Richie Torres, will penalize brick-and-mortar businesses who don't accept cash with fines of up to $1,500.
A ban on cashless business is a protection of privacy, it is a protection of equity, but above all, it's a protection of consumer choice.
San Francisco, the state of New Jersey, Los Angeles have now all moved to protect access to cash.
There is a poll up on screen now. Would you be in favor of a cashless society?
Interesting. 92% have already said no.
Ireland has moved forward as well with legislation requiring cash in certain kinds of essential retail stores. Spain, Norway, France, and now citizens in more countries are taking a closer look, including Great Britain.
So we're kind of oddball. We haven't done it yet. Democratic governments ought to be listening to their voters.
Ron Del Nuevo is with the United Kingdom group called Payment Choice Alliance. The group has been pushing for the UK to protect British money. He joins us this hour in a conversation about whether there should be a break to the fast and furious march toward a cashless society. Why do we still need cash? What difference would a cashless society make for you? Our question this hour, why do you still need cash? 1-888-817-8995. And yes, that is our question this hour. Are you still using cash? Are you kind of worried about this march to a cashless society? There's a number of interesting findings from some recent reports about Canadians. And of course, we want to hear from you. Why do you still need cash? 1-888-817-8995. Ron Del Nuevo is with the group Payment Choice Alliance. Now, this group has been advocating for laws in the United Kingdom similar to laws being passed in other countries, including neighboring Ireland and several U.S. cities and states. Welcome to Ontario Today.
Good afternoon, Amanda.
Thank you so much for joining us and spending some time with our audience today. I'm wondering, how do you answer the question we're asking today? Why do we still need access to cash?
Well, I think we need access to cash for a variety of reasons. Firstly, to include everyone, because millions of people don't have access to smartphones, don't understand technology, and simply couldn't survive in a cashless society. There's also the element that cash never crashes. Systems crash. Here in the UK, retailers are forever seeing their systems go down. Just earlier this year, two of the biggest retailers went down for a couple of days and all they could accept was cash. So cash never lets you down. It always works for you. Equally, it gives us choice. And I think choice is very important. Nobody says that Apple Pay isn't a great system or that Visa and MasterCards aren't worthwhile options. But why should they be compulsory? Why should we be robbed of choice? So I think choice is something most of us want in every aspect of our lives. And payments should be no different. We should have choice. And if we want to use cash, we should be able to do so.
Can you tell me about what the situation has been like in the United Kingdom? How have people been affected there?
Well, we have a situation where the banks have been closing all of their bank branches down, taking out their ATMs. It's not quite the same in Canada yet, but that may start very soon. And that means that people haven't got great access to cash as they used to have. And we're finding that retailers now, probably 20 or 30% of retailers in London, for example, aren't accepting cash. So the public are coming under great pressure. 15 million people in the UK still use cash to budget. That's how they live their lives, making sure they don't spend too much, making sure they don't get into debt. And then we have millions of others who are just not capable of dealing with the technology or can't afford it. And then there's millions more where the internet reception isn't great. I imagine in Canada there are places where the internet connection is not great and they have problems. So all in all, it's becoming a very difficult situation. Mm-hmm. And yet, when we asked the public in the UK, only 13% wanted a cashless society. So the public don't want it, but it's being forced on them by a reduction in ATM numbers, a reduction in access to cash, and the fact that businesses aren't accepting cash now.
I want to ask a little bit about there are some sort of efforts towards some rules and regulations in the UK, and we can talk about that in a second, but people are really chomping at the bit to talk about this. So why don't we go to the phone? So we're asking, why do you still need cash? Let's go to Robert, who's in Sudbury. Robert, go ahead.
Hello. I'm a senior, and I used to use credit cards all the time. But for two reasons, I stopped using them. The first reason is hackers somehow get into your credit card numbers and make purchases that you didn't make. Then you have to dispute them with the credit card company and wait 30 days or something. And that's a problem.
Had that happened to you, Robert?
Oh, yeah, several times. The other thing is, if you use a credit card, the post office is a lot slower than it was before. Like, I don't mail in a check to the bank. I take a check to the bank and pay it off if I have to. Mm-hmm. So I recall a situation which I did not get a statement from my credit card for 3 months. I don't know why, but the bank ended up canceling my card, and I had to go down and fix that problem.
Yeah.
But it was due to the fact that I never got a statement. There's a problem with the postal service.
Yeah, it's interesting. I know, Robert, as well, that a lot of banks are trying to stop, trying to get you to click on that button that says that you online, when you're doing your online banking, to click on that button that says you don't need a mailed statement. It saves them money when they don't have to send the statement out to you, I'm sure. Well, listen, you've raised a couple of really interesting things. I want to really fixate on the security issue. Ron, can you talk about that a little bit?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are huge security issues, and we weren't warned of those before being sucked into using cards and online. And if you look at the frauds now, they're growing every year. A high percentage of the British public have been affected by fraud, but they feel, well, we've got no choice now because, you know, Robert was talking about going to a bank to deposit a check. Well, you'd be lucky finding a bank in the UK to deposit that check. So people are feeling they're being pushed into a corner. And you said it, actually, Amanda, there. This is to suit banks. They want to make bigger profits. And quite frankly, most people think their profits are high enough already. And should they not start thinking about what their customers want rather than what the banks want to impose? And I think we need to see a big pushback on this. We're starting to see it now, but fraud is a huge issue with online and card transactions. even before you get into cryptocurrencies, where, of course, we've seen people imprisoned in the US recently for $34 billion frauds. I mean, these are unimaginable figures and never happen with cash. Cash cannot be hacked. Cash cannot be manipulated in the same way as online and crypto.
And many Ontarians certainly and Canadians are familiar with the similar outages. We've had some big outages in this country as well. I want to just kind of talk a little bit about what the situation is like in Canada. The Bank of Canada did not have anyone that could speak on this issue for us today. They are this issue of the case for legislative protection of cash. They did commission a report that made recommendations to them, and one of the authors did publish an article in Policy Options called "The Case for the Legislative Protection of Cash." And this person lays out Ahmed lays out the case for why we need it. But they're, in speaking to senators and other politicians, it's not really on anyone's radar. But here's what that report found. It found many people who need and use cash are among the most vulnerable in Canadian society. A 2022 Central Bank report indicated that 40% of transactions valued under $15 were conducted in cash in 2020. In addition, the tangible nature of cash, its universal acceptance, the direct control it offers, along with socioeconomic intricacies, particularly for those with uncertain immigration status or those who work in cash-based jobs, contribute to the fact that 25% of Canadian residents obtain at least a portion of their monthly income in physical currency. And for others, cash remains the preferred mode of savings, reflecting desires for economic reassurance, et cetera, et cetera. We'll hear a little bit more about some of the reporting that's been happening in Canada on how you are using cash. But let me go back to the phones. Again, Claire is in Toronto. And Claire, we're asking this question. Why do you need cash?
Well, as I told your producer, I work a lot of shows, like the home show down at the Anacare Centre. I work wholesale shows up at the Congress Centre and International Centre, and none of them take cash. And when you go to buy a coffee, which is $4 and something, there's a $2 service charge added on to each transaction. Even though I have cash, but they don't give me the option to pay. Even the pop machines aren't cash. You have to use it with a debit card. And I also have had fraud on my debit card just recently with online purchases, and I've never shopped online.
You're raising an important issue that are you a vendor at these events?
Yes.
You're a vendor. What kind of things do you sell? Just as
in the wholesale gift show, it's products for other stores. So what you're going to see in the next year in gift shops, some clothing, jewelry.
Right.
Down at the Anacare, I sell the Aqua Blade.
Okay.
At the home show.
Okay. And so, this is, there are a lot of people, there are a lot of smaller venues as well, smaller craft sales and that kind of thing. And of course, they are all having to use the machines as well because the customers who are walking around often aren't holding cash on them either, I imagine.
Well, you would be surprised at the CNE, a lot of people have cash because they want to get deals.
Right.
So, I would say 70% of our business is in cash still.
Is that right?
At those public events, yeah.
What are your concerns about as we are sort of heading? Do you think that cash needs protection?
I do think cash needs protection for vulnerable people, especially single mothers or people with disabilities. Cash is their king because they don't get access to credit. Also, I was told by a bank executive they want to go to a cashless society because at the point of purchase, they will be able to decide if you can afford this or not. And that, it seems to me, is like sort of a fascist state. How can they be deciding? I guess
no
it's
state.
To protect the banks.
Yes. You raised,
and we already have more bank charges than most European countries do.
I want to talk about the bank charges and the way we are spending money when we are not using cash. And thank you very much for weighing in on this. I appreciate you. Ron Del Nevo is our guest. Ron, your thoughts?
Oh, firstly, great to hear that 70% of people want to use cash in that environment, but appalling that people are being surcharged for card transactions they don't even want to make. I mean, that is just immoral, quite frankly. And, you know, the idea that the banks will decide everything about our lives is just unacceptable. So, you know, there were so many good things in your last caller's piece there. It highlighted so many problems that exist, the charges that are made. You know, the very first card that came along charged retailers 7% for the use of that card, you know, allowing customers to use that card. 7%. Where does that money come from in the end? It comes from the people who are customers using shops, using restaurants, and so on and so forth. So the cost is borne by the public in the end. So none of these things are free, because essentially all costs are added to retail prices so that the public end up paying. Now, the public with cash don't face that kind of extra cost. Equally, a lot of businesses, especially small businesses, can't afford the charges that credit card companies, for example, are levying. The big businesses get great deals. The small businesses don't. And they're pushed to the wall in some cases here in the UK because basically they can't compete with the big businesses. They get lousy deals from the car companies and they can't increase their prices. So everybody's suffering here. It's not just the public. Small businesses are suffering as well because they are being squeezed. If you're a Walmart or a Costco, you get a great deal. But if you're just another retailer, you don't get a great deal. And that can put you out of business in the end.
And that's certainly the kind of people we'd like to hear from as well, small businesses and concerns about cash. There might be, for instance, security reasons about holding cash in your store, which might be an issue too. So we'd like to talk about that issue through your experience as well. Let's go now to Jacques, who is in Ottawa. Jacques, go ahead. And again, our question this hour, why do you still need cash?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny, really, because I don't criticize people who don't use cash. I mean, I can see all the reasons why you would. But I would say that in my life, I've used cash in at least 90% of my transactions. I do banking online, and I do credit cards, but only for large purchases, because if there's a problem with the product, usually you can get the credit card company to lean on the seller more than if you paid it cash. But otherwise, I use cash. Now, I've gone through my entire life, and I'm, you know, came from a very, very poor family. It's kind of poverty you don't see anymore, really. But I did several degrees, and, you know, I've owned several homes and at different times. And I have yet to pay a cent of interest in my life. I did everything by paying cash. And if you, including, like, no mortgages, nothing. So if you pay cash, the key value to doing that is that you see what you're spending. And you don't spend what you don't need. You know? And yeah. I think that that's the key.
I wonder if you bring up some great points, and thank you so much for your call. Ron Del Nevo, I wonder if there's a generational issue here, though, because here Jacques has sort of grown up using cash and is able to sort of get a sense for the cash advantage. But I wonder if generationally, you know, there is different needs on this issue.
Well, clearly there are options available that weren't available when either Jack or I were young men. But the bottom line is that when you talk to the public, as I mentioned earlier, a very small percentage of the total population want a cashless society. So even younger people who may use Apple Pay or other digital methods and so on don't want to lose the option. So I think that's the most important thing. Jack could have used credit cards for everything, but he mentioned he only used credit cards for massive purchases. So he's exercised choice and he's exercised it brilliantly. He says he's not paid one cent of interest. The problem is here that banks and other financial services organizations want to pull us in to paying more interest. They want us indebted, and not having cash helps them get us into that position. So basically, we're not arguing against innovation. We're not arguing that people shouldn't be allowed to use Apple Pay or credit cards or debit cards. But let's retain choice so that we can all be as smart as Jack and not pay interest right. that we may not be able to afford.
Afsoon is in Mississauga. Afsoon, how do you want to weigh in on this? Why do we still need cash?
Good afternoon. Hi. I think we need cash because, I grew up with my father owning a small business here in Mississauga that, you know, I worked at from the time I was 8 years old and have seen the evolution of changing from cash to more credit. And I can see the perspective of that from a small business owner, but as well now, you know, as an adult, as a consumer, because of the fees that were mentioned, you know, a small business has to pay all kinds of fees for administering those little machines that we pay on. And then not to mention all of the hassles and the problems and they don't work. And it's a lot of money, time, investment to keep those up that comes out of the small business pocket and goes into the bank's pocket. And it's the same from the consumer's end. You know, when the when we're charged even small fees, and it was an example of a large surcharge, but even the 25 cents and the 50 cents that we're charged, and then the small business is also charged, when you multiply that by thousands and millions, it basically deteriorates the value of cash. So, I mean, the example I always like to give is I can take a $50 bill, and if I pass that around and it goes through, you know, various cash machines and through the community, it stays $50. Whereas if you put $50 on your card, well, then it's $49.75, and the next one it's $49.50, and at some point that $50 has now become zero. Whereas using cash, it keeps that value, and so we're not inadvertently as consumers unknowingly, you know, adding extra profit to the banks, and also unknowingly taking away from small businesses.
Wow, there's a lot, so much there. I wanted to, there's a lot there. I'm very interested in hearing Ron on the idea that your money is basically disappearing once it gets into the bank. But I wanted to ask you, as sort of having participated in the store and that, I wanted to ask about security of having cash and now you need less cash. And so some stores may have some issues around employees who may become vulnerable to theft if they are sitting with a large cash register in the store. Do you have any thoughts on that, Afsoon?
Well, I think that is true. That is the other side, that the theft aspect is reduced when it's cashless, and keeping cash on the premises. I mean, I remember twice in these last decades that my dad's store was robbed, unfortunately. So it's there, but I don't think it, when you consider that at a collective level, like over, you know, years and years, I don't think it amounts to the same type of concern.
Okay.
We're just used, as small businesses, I mean, we're used to dealing with cash, we're used to dealing with, you know, minor theft and, taking cash deposits to the bank. And, you know, that's something that we... I think adjust for and learn to cope with as businesses.
We're just against the break, so I don't have any time for you except for 20 seconds, but I wanted to ask about the small purchases, especially from kids and people who sort of use cash for those small purchases. Do you think about that as well, Afsoon?
Absolutely. I mean, there is the nature of our store. It's a kind of corner store, retail convenience store almost. And we get all kinds of people and really love encouraging those little kids who have saved and, you know, come in with $1.43. And it adds a lot to community life.
I want to thank you so much, Afsoon, for your call. It's so good to hear from you. We'll hear Ron's reaction to that after the break. Ron Del Nevo is with us from the United Kingdom. He's with the group Payment Choice Alliance. The group has been advocating for laws in that country to protect cash. Coming up, an economist with this consumer group called Option Consommateur. They have some reporting on this. We'll see you soon. You're listening to Ontario Today. I'm Amanda Pfeffer. Why do you still need cash? 1-888-817-8995.
I think the last time I went to an ATM was 2 years ago.
Having a wad of cash in your pocket just isn't convenient.
Are we moving closer to a cashless society? The Bank of Canada has been looking at the issue.
Well, we regularly survey people in Canada in terms of what they do in terms of payments. How do they pay for things? And it is true, people are increasingly not using cash for payments. There's still very solid demand for cash.
During a recent interview with CBC, Sharon Kazicki, the deputy governor of the Bank of Canada, says the bank is tracking closely how cash is used.
If you look at what's been happening to cash in the overall economy, or currency as we call the aggregate, it was on steady growth up. It actually grew a little faster at the beginning of the pandemic, which almost seems surprising.
Yeah.
And then it slowed a little bit. But we've still been on this overall general increase. That suggests people still want it. And so if people still want it, I mean, that's one of the big decision pieces in terms of cash.
But does access to cash need to be protected? The Bank of Canada commissioned a policy brief about the use of cash in Canada. One of the authors of that report, Aftab Ahmed, wrote an article in the magazine Policy Options. It was called The Case for Legislative Protection of Cash. It recommended Canada do something to avoid sleepwalking into a cashless society that excludes many Canadians. Coming up, we'll hear from another group that has authored a report with similar findings. And we want to hear from you. Our question this hour, why do you still need cash? 1-888-817-8995. And I want to go right to the phones. We've got Wendy on the line in Beaverton. And Wendy, you want to weigh in here. We're asking, why do you still need cash? We were just talking about kids buying stuff in grocery stores. I think you're thinking along the same line. Go ahead.
Yes, I am concerned about not having cash and for children not learning the value of cash and the whole part of the curriculum that is money math. But I also worry about children who want to save for things, like they have a babysitting job or they cut the neighbor's grass. And that's going to be really awkward paying them for that if they're saving up for a special bike. I also worry about our young adults who find it very easy to get another credit card because the one they had was maxed out. And I do know two people who have over 20 credit cards to the max. And I worry, like, how are they learning from that? They're not. Like, it's like they just get another one. And their interest rates just keep adding on. And it's like they get deeper and deeper in a hole where, with money, you buy something when you have enough. Mm-hmm. So it's really a concern for me.
You know, there is a trend on TikTok currently about using cash to save. That's been pretty popular. So in other words, you take your paycheck, you cash your paycheck, and then you figure out your bills, and you sort of physically put the money in the spaces where your money should go, so that you can physically see it. And I think that's what you're talking about, that there's something physical about money that helps you sort of understand its value. Is that what you're getting at?
Sure. And I'm sad that, as the economy is right now, it's so hard for young couples to even purchase a home. But when they also have so many credit cards and it's like, well, we can't make this payment, let's get another card to make that payment. So it's just like a vicious circle. It's too easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to thank you very much, Wendy, for weighing in on that. Ron Del Nevo is with us. He's from the United Kingdom. He's with the group Payment Choice Alliance. What are you thinking about as you hear that caller?
Well, first, I think that your callers are great. They really have a lot of good points to make. Maybe it's because I think 10% of Canadians claim Scottish heritage, so maybe partly this interest in cash is connected to their heritage. But it was interesting, a great point by one of your callers about how, if you use a $50 bill and pay and it circulates in that local community, it remains $50. If you use a card, you lose a bit with every transaction. Well, with whiskey, which I know from my native country, 5% of whiskey evaporates every year. They call it the angel share in relation to whiskey. But the same thing's happening with card purchases. And I don't think we'll call it the angel share, because every time you use a card, a bit of the value is taken away. And it doesn't go to the angels. It goes to the card companies like Visa and MasterCard and the banks. So that's a very important point. Cash retains its value if it circulates in the community. Card transactions don't. Other points, you know, the whole issue of kids learning, you know, so many youngsters now aren't fully appreciating the value of money, and it's not their fault. It's just that they're not actually able to get the value of money from waving a card around, and they can get them so young now. Oh, it's contactless. Just wave it and you pay. Yeah, but at the end of the month, somebody's got to finance the bill. And it's easy to forget that if you're just waving with a smile on your face, which is what, of course, all the card adverts show us. You're not smiling when the bill comes in. So, yeah, it's very important for youngsters to learn about the value of money. And the best way is by using cash, not cards.
I want to go to the phone again. We've got Peter, who's in Hamilton. Peter, go ahead. You want to talk about something here. We're asking, why do you still need cash?
Well, I don't need cash, but the thing is that I worry about privacy issues because, you know, the banks with their debit card or Visa or MasterCard with their credit cards, every time you buy something, you are creating a profile of you, and as and this information is certainly used and sold, and it's a privacy issue. Every time I buy something, I don't want my bank to know that I bought something. Where if I use cash, it's anonymous, and I think it's a privacy issue. I use my computer to pay my hydro bill and my gas bill. But I don't use a card because that's tracking your purchases to you. And I have a problem with that.
Privacy is a big issue, Ron.
Oh, it's a huge issue, privacy. And, you know, basically, governments now, there are many governments that don't want us to have privacy, and they don't want us to be free to do things that they don't know about. And they're working in some cases with the financial services industry to take away our right to be private. And that is very wrong. Democratic countries should allow their citizens to have private lives as long as they're not breaking the law. And it's very, very important that that is maintained. I don't think you have democracy without privacy. I think it's a shadow democracy. It's a sham without privacy.
I wanted to say, you know, in Canada, we have legalized sale of cannabis. And the cannabis store, I understand, has a lot a higher percentage of cash use than other retail stores. And I think I'm guessing that a lot of that has to do with cash. At the time, there were many business articles talking about use cash to buy legal cannabis if you're worried about privacy, says Watchdog. And these were recommendations that came out of the Privacy Commissioner, Daniel Terrier. I just want to go now to get sort of a Canadian perspective on this. Carlos Castiblanco is an economist with the consumer group Option Consommateur. Option Consommateur received a federal grant to explore the relevance of cash for Canadians and whether it needs protection. The report is called "Will Cash Soon Be a Thing of the Past?" Thank you so much for joining us, Carlos.
Hi, Amanda. Thank you for having me.
I don't know if you've heard some of the conversation so far, but I'm wondering why the group wanted to look at this issue.
Yeah, I have actually, and it's very interesting to see that some of our points have been pointed out by some of your listeners. I think that there are three key points as to why we should protect cash payments. The first one is that the removal of cash might exclude some marginalized groups from the economy from participating, right? So we talk about low-income households, seniors, underbanked people, which is a rare yet prevalent phenomenon in Canada, people without credit cards, among others, for sure. As one of your listeners said, the non-trustability of cash is very important. A lot of people value their privacy and their data be kept to themselves. As you yourself said, we have some goods here. For example, some people might want to keep their purchases of alcohol or marijuana private, even if they're legal substances. And another important thing as to why we should protect cash is that it's a very reliable method of payment, right? With the Rogers network shortage that we had 2 years ago, if my mind is correct, we saw the importance of cash and how it is reliable for all Canadians.
Now, you looked into some retail practices about whether or not how much that is happening, where retailers are starting to either ban cash from their stores. What do we know about how much of that is happening?
Yes. So some stores, it was especially after COVID, I would say COVID was the straw that broke the camel's back, that pushed some merchants to go cashless. We had already seen the trend with gyms, trains, or airplanes, for sure. So as we have said, and it has been said a lot of times, cash has declined from being 25% of the total transactions done in the economy by volume to about 10% only.
And so we have seen some stores then decide that they're not going to allow cash. What protections are in place for Canadians who sort of go to a store and want to buy something and are told that we don't accept cash here?
So that's a very good question. Right now, in the eyes of the law, there isn't a clear answer to your question. Right now, if a merchant puts a clause in their contract specifying that they do not accept cash, or if they put a sign, let's say, in front of the store that says we don't accept cash, it is enough. We don't think that's acceptable for sure, and we think that's especially unacceptable for essential goods, right? We're talking about stores. We don't want to see that situation at grocery stores or at pharmacies or anything that is an essential good.
We know we've seen a private members bill come up on this issue, but do you think, is the group recommending through this report that the federal government act on this to protect cash, or should that be up to provinces? Should that be up to municipalities? Should there be a law at all?
So yeah, that would be Bill C-400. We see this as a positive in terms of there are some legislators that are interested in this topic. We see that there is the beginning of a discussion about this at a federal level. However, this particular bill does not include a provision to constrain merchants to accept cash. It calls on the finance minister to implement a general framework to maintain access to cash. So we would like to see something that is more concrete on its measures, whether it is the federal government, the provincial government, or the municipal government. That is all right. We just want to see a protected access to cash for all Canadians.
I want to play for you in Ireland. They have just passed some legislation, and in particular, it deals with the retail issue. And so we're going to hear a clip here. This is the head of communications for Irish finance minister, Michael McGrath. His head of communications, Dara Cassidy, speaking in December as they were about to launch into this legislation. You'll hear right after that a shopkeeper also in Ireland. Have a listen. Do we have that?
It would require certain businesses to have to accept cash. So certain essential services. Now, we're not talking about your local shipper or the pub or the coffee shop, but maybe, for example, the supermarket, a pharmacy, hospital services. And also, it would require ATMs potentially to be put in certain towns of a certain size so people don't have to travel too far to get money.
About our businesses, about 12% of our business is cash currently this year. But yeah, it's a fundamental part of rural communities and the youth, the elderly, other generations, they all still use cash. So yes, it's very much a fundamental part of our business.
So that was Dara Cassidy, who was with the finance minister there in Ireland. But also then you heard a shopkeeper who is in sort of a more rural area of Ireland talking about the need for cash. Would you like to see, do you think Canadians need to see a similar law here in Canada that is perhaps not a ban for all retailers, but perhaps for some essential retailers?
Yes, actually, that's a very, very good point. Our solutions to this problem have to be flexible. We would allow some degrees of flexibility. What they're doing in Ireland is very interesting. Constraining essential services, as they said, food or healthcare would be a good solution. In Denmark, they constrain, for example, merchants to accept in, within certain times of the day. So they are mandated to accept cash, let's say, from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., which is a socially acceptable time to do it. So there is not a one-size-fits-all measure to do it, but we can include a lot of flexibility in the way we can protect cash.
Carlos, do we need to do this quickly, or this article out of Policy Options said we are sleepwalking into cashlessness? Do you think that we need to act on this?
Well, I personally believe so. We believe so at Option Consommateur. We have talked about 10% of the total volume being cash only, and people might ask, is there a need if it's decreasing? Well, yes, there is a need to protect cash right now before more merchants start refusing cash and they start removing all the infrastructure required to store and maintain cash. They are already used to dealing with cash. So this is the moment to act before it is more complicated.
Carlos, thank you so much for your insights today.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Carlos Castablanco is an economist with the consumer group Option Consommateur. They're based in Quebec, but they were funded through the federal grant to explore the relevance of cash. I invite you to take a look at that. That report is called Will Cash Soon Be a Thing of the Past? Just a quick base touch with Ron Del Nevo, who is standing by from the UK. Just quickly before we go back to the phones, your thought on what you just heard?
I think that you asked about, is this urgent, Amanda, and Carlos said it was, and I totally agree. I think that we need urgent action now because we're seeing an increasing number of businesses refusing cash. Access to cash, certainly here in the UK, is decreasing. And we have set a target of the end of 2025 to get legislation in place in the UK. So that shows how urgent the matter is. Only 18 months are we allowing for it, because we feel if it goes beyond that, there'll be so many businesses not accepting cash. Cash will be so difficult to access that the whole thing will fall down, and we'll leave all of those millions of people who have no alternative to cash that works for them financially excluded, and all of the many more millions who want to use cash won't be able to do so. So it's a very, very urgent matter.
Let's go to Andrew, who's in Oxford County. Andrew, go ahead, and we're asking, why do you still need cash?
Simple, underground economy. And I'm sure your economists are not aware of just how broad it is. I ask for cash discounts from absolutely everybody. And just to expand on that, yes, you get it from your barber or your plumber or whatever. I got it cash discount from a medical supply place, and I had my windshield replaced, and I asked for a cash discount, and it was a chain, and they gave me one. So that's exactly why I want cash, and it's going to go. Kijiji, Facebook, these are all great little cash tax-free enterprises.
Some people might think that getting rid of cash is a good way to end the black market or the tax avoidance, for instance. What do you think? What do you say to that?
Well, yeah, I have no doubt the government would love to do that, because they're hungry for money. You know, everybody is cheating the little guy, the banks, the government. Everybody's after the small guy, and you keep pushing people, and they're going to go find alternatives. The county I live in just raised property tax 16.7% without any questions, without disputes. I mean, you can't force people into bankruptcy. That's exactly what everybody's doing.
I want to thank you so much, Andrew, for bringing this up. I know also people, for instance, on limited incomes are using cash as well for small jobs and that kind of thing, and having to go through the sort of, if it's part-time work particularly, having to go through a formalized process and using non-cash would make that opportunity for work probably less available to them. Your thoughts, Ron, on the black market economy generally?
Well, I think black market is a bit of a pejorative. I think there is so many opportunities if you use cash to get better deals still. And basically, I love that expression, the little guy always becomes a victim. And that's true. Not just the little guy, but the little woman as well. The people in the street, man and women in the street, are so little considered by the businesses that are trying to impose cashless. And we need to make sure that they are considered. Too many of our leaders today, Amanda, are very, very rich people, which is fine for them. But how in touch are they with the little guy and the little woman? And cash is very important to many of those little guys and little women, and we need to keep it. And as for businesses, you know, businesses are happy to give discounts for cash because they end up often paying 5%, 6%, or 7% of their sales revenue to card schemes and digital payment offerings. So, you know, essentially, it's cheaper for them to encourage their customers to use cash. Mm. You know, they're not doing it as a favour. It's better for the businesses and better for the customers. So that's brilliant. We can't have a cashless society because all of those good things for the people in the street, the men and women in the street, would just disappear and we'd be victims of big businesses that want to run our lives so that they make huge profits.
Anne is in Barrie, Ontario. Our question today, why do you still need cash? Go ahead, Anne.
Well, I think people need cash and they need the experience of using cash as a part of actually learning about money. When I was learning about money, the idea that I was taught and I passed it on to students that I used to talk to quite regularly was you have a budget. So you figure out what you're going to have to spend and you make a series of envelopes and you actually put that amount of money in each envelope. And that way, if you want to do something different or you have an emergency, you're actually looking at the envelopes and saying, well, where can I afford to take the money away from? Who could I talk to about being late on this bill payment or whatever it is? And to me, it's that physical, tangible, it actually means something. And when you're tapping, it's far easier for it not to really mean anything, even if it's your debit card as opposed to a credit card. So I think that it's really important for people to somehow have some experience with the tangible aspect of money. And if they're not going to have that, then they have to be set up so that they're thinking as though they do that. So in my case, for instance, I pay all my bills online because I'm not a Luddite, but I pay all my bills on one day of the month. So yes, it means I pay some bills early, but it's because I have a budget. And that way I know that that total amount of money is going out and I know what it is every month that's committed. And I know I've paid it before I do anything else that might be a little more frivolous with my money.
Yeah, we've heard already a bit of a conversation this hour about how the physical nature of having cash in hand helps young people make that kind of really understanding about the value of the money in front of them. And really nice to hear from you. Greg is on the line in Waterloo. Greg, go ahead. Let's hear from you. Why do we need cash? Or why do you need cash?
I'll give you two examples. Both Kitchener and Waterloo have farmers markets. The one in Waterloo is the largest in Canada. It's run solely by cash in hand. And it's just it's a wonderful thing to go out on a Saturday. There'll be hundreds and hundreds of vendors representing the farms and small enterprises of the region and tens of thousands of customers. And it's such a different thing than going to a supermarket or a Costco. It's wonderful, and there's a lot of social learning going on. Yeah. The second example is the provincial government trying to build more houses is trying to force the expropriation of several hundred acres of prime farmland in nearby Wilmot Township, and there's been a huge moral uprising. Petition with 10,000 signatures, thousands of signatures, and yard signs. And I'm a yard sign captain, so I have them out on the front porch, and people come to pick them up. And there's a suggested donation. So
right,
often
and that,
I'll
that's
open
the
my
kind do- of That kind of thing, that kind of donation opportunity is really a cash, you know, it's all motivated and incentivized by cash. I just want to grab Nicole because we're almost at the end of the show. Nicole is in the Ottawa area. And Nicole, bless you. It's so nice to hear from a young person on this way in. Why do you still use cash?
I like cash. I value my privacy. I don't see why Visa or the bank or the government should see every small transaction. That you've been using this 10% figure a lot, the farmers markets, using yard sales, Facebook marketplace, charity donations. Like, there's all these other transactions that wouldn't be accounted for in that. Two other reasons. We are legislatively behind about cash. I went to a concert this weekend. They don't take cash. I had to bring my credit card. I used my credit card. I lost my credit card. I've been spending all week fixing my reoccurring payments. And as well as my sisters were just at the Rideau Center in Ottawa. They took away the arm that you would usually use, and, you know, you'd be using your credit card for that already. But now they changed it to an app payment, and that's increasingly happening in parking lots. Yeah.
Yeah. On top of everything. Listen, we'll have to leave it there because we're right at the end of the show. Thank you so much for coming up the end of the parade. Ron Del Nevo, last word to you. We have about a minute, but what do you want to pick on here? What do you want to tell Canadians?
Don't let your cash go. And the way to deal with this is use a bit of technology if you can. Inundate your politicians, the people that represent you, with emails, making the point that you want cash and that it must not be that Canada becomes a cashless society. We've done that over here. MPs in our parliament have been inundated with mail from the public and they are reacting to that. So don't let the politicians put their hands over their ears and not listen. Tell them what you want. And from this program today, Amanda, I know that Canadians don't want a cashless society. Tell your politicians and make them give you what you want.
Ron Del Nevo, thank you so much for spending the hour with us. It's really been a treat. Ron Del Nevo is with us from the United Kingdom. He's with the group Payment Choice Alliance. Also, thank you to Carlos Castablanco. Carlos is an economist with the consumer group Option Consommateur. You can listen again to the show on the CBC Listen app. Tomorrow, Rebecca Zandbergen is in the host chair. I'll see you after the Canada Day holiday. I hope you can join us. Our next show is tomorrow at noon. I'm Amanda Pfeffer. We'll see you on Tuesday.